Good morning, church. So glad you could join us this morning. Just a few things before we get started here. First of all, if you're watching this on Facebook, we'd love it if you'd like our page and follow our page and like this video. And if you have any comments, please do so. Make some comments in the bottom there. Right before this video, we put up a slide that showed some emojis you can use. That'll give us an idea of how you're feeling about this message and our worship time. And if you'd like prayer, please put in the comment part, just put prayer, and we will contact you and find out how we can pray for you and how we can help you. If this is your first time watching us, please just put new in the comments so we know when we have new people watching. And for those of you who don't know, I am Pastor Chris of Living Faith Missionary Church, and we are so glad you're here. If you're watching this on YouTube, then please please follow our page, our YouTube page, and subscribe and press the bell so that you get notified when new things are posted. We have this going on. We also post a blog periodically about once a week called Deeper, where we are right now finishing up the book of Philippians. And I'm not quite sure where we're going to go next with that, but we'll definitely be doing that. Just as a side note, this is our second sermon in the series called Gospel Community, and it is kind of a dovetail with the whole 3 months that we did on gospel fluency. And so if you didn't see gospel fluency, please go back and listen to those. Those are online at our website at www.livingfaithmc.info. And before in this series on gospel community, after the fourth one, we will be going into a series on the book of Acts. Not sure how long we will be in that series, but that is the plan. So please join us for that. Also, those videos, even if we do get back into the church, those we will be video recording those, and those will be posted online after the Sunday morning. We will not be live because we don't have the ability to do that. But let's begin with this next one, a gospel community called What is a Gospel Community? So I'm going to begin with prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, we praise you. Lord, we just thank you for all your blessings. Lord, we praise you for technology, because without it, we would not be able to do what we're doing. And we thank you, Lord. Open our hearts to your word and what you want us to learn and what you want us to walk away with. May you be praised, Lord, in all we say and do. We pray this in your name. Amen. You know, we spent just a little over 3 months going through gospel fluency, trying to understand what it means to be fluent in the gospel. And the question I was hoping that we would answer during that series and during this series is, how do we live in such a way that the gospel is holistically and continually and completely being spoken into our lives and to the lives of those around us? In America, we have this tendency to look at the gospel as the way we believe and then we go to heaven after we die. I mean, that's kind of the way we think about it. And or if you're a pre-tribulation believer, that when we are raptured before the tribulation, that we will go to heaven. But that's not what the Bible says the gospel is about. The Bible says that Jesus came. He came to rescue us from ourselves. He came to rescue us from the power of sin. And he came to rescue us from the fear of death. And Jesus came to make us new, to make us a new creation. See, the biblical gospel is the power of God for salvation. But not only for this life, but also for the life afterwards. In fact, the gospel is not just for the afterlife or just for this life. It is for all of life. See, God's purpose in giving us the gospel was not just to save us from this world and to save us from hell, but it was also for our life. In fact, all of life. And it is given to remake us, to make us into something new. See, the gospel renews us. And it brings us back to where God intended us to be. It's this idea of Imago Dei, this which is Latin for the image of God, that we are the image of God. And being this image, what does that mean to be the image of God? It's to be His representation here on the earth. See, our job, our mandate, humanity's purpose was to spread the glory of God over all of the earth, to bring light out of darkness, to bring order out of chaos, to multiply. He told Adam and Eve in the garden, God says, be fruitful, multiply, and spread throughout the whole earth. Their job and our job was to spread Eden over the whole earth. And that's still God's plan. God's plan hasn't changed. Our job is still to spread Eden throughout the world. But we don't do it physically. We do it through the spiritual world now until Christ comes back. Then it will happen in the physical. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve failed. Couldn't do it. They failed. But God had a plan. God knew that was going to happen, and He had a plan whereby Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, would come, and He would reconcile us back to God. He would return us back to that original mandate to spread the beauty and the glory of the kingdom of God throughout the whole world and throughout all of creation. See, the gospel is not just relevant to the religious part of our lives. It's relevant to all of it. It's integral to every single part of our lives. But we need to understand that the only way that the gospel will spread throughout the world, the only way that we can spread the kingdom, the beauty, and the glory of God throughout creation is from within gospel community. That's God's will. God's will is that we be in a gospel community. See, we can't do this on our own. We can't. We talked about that last week. If you want to be men and women that God wants us to be, we need to be part. We must be part of a gospel community with all its messiness, with all its pain and strife and joy and happiness and awesomeness. So what does it look like? What does a gospel community look like? I want us to turn to our Bibles to Romans 1. And I want to start with verses 16 and 17. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." We don't need to be ashamed of the gospel, which is the good news about Jesus Christ and what He's done and what He's continuing to do. There's no shame in it whatsoever. There's no shame in God reconciling us and His redemption. Why? Because it is the power of God for salvation. First to the Jew, because Jesus was a Jew, and then to the Gentile. We see that in the Bible. We see Peter and Paul and James and John first talking to the Jews. And then ultimately, Paul goes to the Gentiles. See, the gospel is universal. The gospel doesn't know a race. It doesn't know a creed. It doesn't know a nationality. It is for everyone, all of humanity. And see, the gospel has the power to set us free. Free from ourselves, free from sin, free from fear, and fear from death. And free from death. Because see, what happens is the gospel brings us reconciliation to God. That relationship that we lost back in the garden, that relationship that we continually see hampered throughout Scripture, the gospel gives us that reconciliation. It brings it to us. and it brings us forgiveness for our sins. And the gospel has the power to change the world. So there's no reason to be ashamed of it, because it is our only hope. See, the righteousness of God is revealed from within the gospel. And we receive his righteousness when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And how we should live is important. So how are we to live because of this? We are to live by our faith in Christ. We see that in Romans. We are to live, the righteous shall live by faith. You know, what's interesting is when we see a word in Scripture and it's repeated over and over again, it adds a lot of emphasis to it. And in Romans 1, 16 through 17, we see faith mentioned three times right there in that one spot. Faith is integral. Faith is key. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus Christ and his gospel. God's desire is that you and I live by faith. Now, we're not talking about just believing in something. See, it's not about just believing in something strongly. But what we're talking about is believing in it so much that it guides us, it changes us, it steers our lives. See, once we believe in the gospel, we need to be constantly putting our trust in Jesus Christ and allow it to be directed and guided by the gospel. The righteous will live by faith. Say that again. The righteous will live by faith. That's action. Because our faith needs to be active. It can't just be head knowledge. It can't just be head faith. It has to be active faith. See, some people believe that the gospel, say they believe the gospel is true, but their lives don't reflect it. It's not active. It's not just about believing something. It's about trusting in it so much that it changes you. And your life reflects the truth of that gospel. If we believe it, we must. We must act on it. We can't just believe. We must act. What's interesting is that the Bible never really lays out what a gospel community specifically looks like. And that is because the gospel community cannot be just cultural. You and I can be a gospel community and still not look exactly like what it looked like back in Acts, or what it looked like back, what it looks like now in the Middle East. Believe me, we can be a gospel community and look completely different from the church down the street, and they also are a gospel community. It's not about what we look like. It's about what we do and what we believe, what's at the core. Now, I want to say, when I say that the Bible doesn't lay out exactly what it looks like, it does give us clues about how it functions. We see principles about what a gospel community is. We see these themes around gospel community and what we're supposed to be about. But the gospel is not cultural. A gospel community is not tied to a culture. It's not limited by that. So what is it about? Well, a gospel community is about the gospel. I know, rather simplistic, right? And you're thinking, duh, pastor. No, we know it's supposed to be about the gospel. See, but in my experience, what we sometimes see as a gospel community may not actually be a gospel community because it's not gospel-centered. I've seen and heard many a comment, many a service, and more attitudes than I care to remember from people who claim to be part of a gospel community and claim to be gospel people, but they're nowhere near being gospel-centered. I've seen people who claim to be Christians say things that are cutting and demeaning to the point that it makes me sad. I know of people that are so rigid they can't give any grace. A gospel community must be centered on the gospel. It must be about grace, and it must be about righteousness. But understand, the righteous don't live by works. They live by faith. It's not about performance. It's not about being perfect. It's not about politics or even knowledge. It's about faith. Because the righteous will live by faith. So, this means we have to deal with the areas of unbelief in our lives. And we apply the truths of the gospel and the power of the gospel not only to our lives, but to the lives of those around us. The righteous shall live by faith. See, we must call each other to trust in Christ. We must call each other to the truths of the gospel. Speak the truth to each other in a way that shows that we are looking to Jesus for all of life. A gospel community is not a Bible study or a book club. It's not a social club. It's not about our connections. It's not a counseling group, because it's not about your needs. It's not a social service group, because it's not about the good deeds that we do. It's not about a community organization, because a gospel community is not about geography. It's not an affinity group, because it's not centered on, you know, your life or what your preferences are. It's not an event. It's not a meeting, because it's not about being convenient. Gospel community is centered on the gospel. Now, not that these other things are bad, believe me, they're good. But if that is your community, if that is the main focus of your community is focused on you. It's not focused on the gospel. If you're in a community that's based on studying the Bible and gaining biblical knowledge, then that's what you're going to get, biblical knowledge. But you're not going to get the gospel. You're not going to get what's most important. And while biblical knowledge is a good thing, it is useless by itself. It is useless by itself, because even Satan, he knows the Bible better than you do. But knowledge of the Bible does not bring about transformation. Facts, trivia, principles, information don't bring transformation. It's belief in those things and living them out, allowing the Holy Spirit to change you, that brings about transformation. Knowledge by itself does not. Now, with technology today, we have more information at our fingertips than we could ever imagine, and a lot of misinformation too. Hey, Google, you know. Hey, Siri. Hey, Alexa. Ask them anything. They'll give you everything you need to know. There's also a lot of misinformation. But can we honestly say that the amount of information we have today has changed our world for the good? Can we honestly say that we live in a superior culture because of our amount of information we have, and that it has helped us deal with our brokenness? Have we eliminated pain and suffering? The current pandemic, the current crisis we're in, shows us we haven't done that. We don't live in a utopia because of the information that we have. In fact, I would argue that the amount of information, the access to the information, whether it's incorrect or correct, is making it worse. I mean, I love to study the Bible. I love to. I love knowing things about the Bible. But doing it alone is not the gospel. And doing it even in a group doesn't make it a gospel community. I mean, you may love to join with a Christian community. If it's all about the relationships, then that's all it is. It's not a gospel community. if it's just about loving people that you're fellowshipping with, it's not the gospel. It's a good thing. It really is. But it must be about the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is much bigger than any emotional, relational need that you have. See, if the Christian community is all about community, which may be a good thing, it's not the gospel, because it's not a gospel community, because the community becomes the idol. And the gospel's fundamental. I mean, what I want to understand through this whole gospel fluency series and these four series on gospel community is that the gospel's bigger than just getting into heaven. It's much bigger because it's for all of life, from cradle to the grave and beyond. We need it. We need the gospel every day, every minute, every hour, every second, every moment of our lives. So gospel community is gospel-centered. And being part of a gospel community makes us gospel people. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, and even today, we talk about inviting Jesus into our heart. Now, this may shock you, but that phrase is nowhere in Scripture. Now, I don't think we're doing any harm by using that, but I think we need to understand the truth about what happens. I mean, we say words matter, and because words mean things. So let's think about this thought of asking Jesus into our heart. Functionally, when I ask Jesus into my heart, what am I doing? I'm inviting him into my life. I'm inviting him to help me with my life. And we have to be careful with this, because it's very easy to stray into prosperity gospel. See, we think that because I've invited Jesus into my life, now I can ask him to help me with my life, and my life will be free of strife. That Jesus will bring me, Jesus wants me to be prosperous. We think that. That's dangerous. It's a perversion of the gospel. And it comes from this idea of inviting Jesus into my story. It almost turns Jesus into the proverbial lucky rabbit's foot that we can rub and get what we want. But in reality, what the gospel is Jesus inviting us into God's story. See, if it's the story of my life, then I'm the hero. And Jesus is my sidekick. I'm Batman, he's Robin. He's the assistant in my story. He's here to assist me with my life. But who is the hero? Who is the hero of the gospel? I'll give you a guess. I'll give you a clue. It's not you and me. Jesus is. Jesus is my hero. Jesus is at the center of the gospel, and we are invited into his story. The gospel is fundamental and comprehensive. We get invited into the story, and the gospel makes us gospel people. And as we get the gospel, it saves us, because it has the power to save. And if it is his story, and if he's the hero, guess who sets the agenda? Not us. Not us. He sets the agenda. You know, we don't ask Jesus in our lives and then tell him what we want him to do. God's not a cosmic personal assistant. We can't say, hey, Jesus, and then get what we want out of him. He's not Google or Siri or Cortana or Alexa. He's not a genie in a bottle that we can rub. See, because faith is not the key that unlocks the blessings of heaven. You know what faith is? Faith is the key that brings us into God's story. Faith is the key that takes us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. It takes us into Jesus' kingdom. And this gives us a purpose, a new purpose for our lives. Because the purpose that we get from the gospel for our lives is so much better than the purpose that we have for ourselves. Any purpose we can think for our own lives, it is even better than life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I know that's hard to understand in our American culture. We value life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's why today I think we feel so restricted by this lock-in that they have us in, which, like I said before, I believe they are infringing on our rights in order to make some people less fearful. Or, worst case scenario, to train us for some very insidious things that could happen. I don't know what it is. In my heart, my spirit tells me that there's a lot more going on here, and we see people taking advantage of it. But see, God's purpose is greater than that, and the purpose he gives us through the gospel is much greater than that. Because the purpose the gospel gives us and puts into our lives means that we need to develop gospel practices. We can't just give it lip service. We have to speak the gospel into our lives. We need to understand the truths of the gospel and apply them into our lives. We need to speak the gospel to each other. We need to apply the truths of the gospel into our lives daily. They need to be integrated. The gospel practices must be integrated into the rhythms of our lives. Last week I touched on 2 Corinthians 5:17, where Paul says, when we believe in Jesus Christ, we are a new creation. We're given this new identity in Christ. And that leads us to live out the gospel in a gospel community. And it's within that community that we see a constant reinforcement of the gospel and the reality of who we are in Christ. Because the old story of our life is over. That chapter's done. We're now part of a new story. Jesus' story, the gospel story, the story of God wanting a human family and reconciling that family back through to him through Jesus Christ. Romans tells us, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. See, in the story we were living, we were enemies of God. But Jesus died on the cross, and when he died, we are now children when we believe in him. He saved us by his life. I'm not the hero of the story. You're not the hero of the story. I will never be the hero of the story. Jesus will always be that hero. And Jesus has given me and you a new identity if you believe in him. It's like getting married. How many of you women who are married, when you got married and you took your husband's last name, struggled for a while to remember to write your new last name? That was your old identity was your maiden name, your new identity is your married name, and you struggle. But sooner or later you get to that point where it comes naturally. That's kind of what we're talking about here. But sometimes we find ourselves acting like we are our old self. Peter tells us in 1 Peter, he says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. And see, it's in within gospel community that we realize that we are not that person anymore. The old story has been closed. We are a new creation. The gospel community helps us walk in a different life because of Jesus. If the community that we're involved in does not encourage us to live out this new identity and the gospel in Christ, it is either not a gospel community or we have not become part of it. I'm going to take a few moments here and we're going to go and look at a couple of things about the gospel community. One of the things that's important, I mean, when Jesus says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbors as yourself, this obviously is what a gospel community is part. It's part of a gospel community. So gospel community is about love, not hate. It's not a community hate. 1 John, he tells us, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. See, what John is saying here is that you can't say that you love God and then not love your brother. Because if you do, you are a liar. If you say you love God and yet you hate people, you're a liar. Our world is full of hate. I hate immigrants. I hate the Democrats. I hate the Republicans. I hate those people who are not taking this whole crisis thing seriously. I hate those people who are fearful and living life locked in their homes all the time. Hate, 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 hate. We see it spilled out on Facebook. We see it in the news. They hate the president. The president doesn't exactly care for them either. We live in a culture of hate. But understand, there is no place in a gospel community for racism, sexism, or classism. There's no room in the gospel community for division. Zero. Now, we can disagree. We can disagree, and we can have a discussion about that disagreement. But we still need to love. And we can't say that we love unless we really mean it. Oh, I love you because I have to. No, you don't. You don't have to love me. And if you say that, you're not really loving. Because this is what it says in Romans. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. I think God is saying, if you say you love somebody and you only say because you say you have to, it's not genuine love. That is evil. I could preach for hours on this. I could preach for hours on genuine and disingenuous love, and I could preach for hours on abhorring evil and holding fast to what is good. Paul continues in Romans, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. These are things that mark a gospel community. I mean, could you imagine what it would be like if we actually competed against each other to honor each other? I know. Some of you are very competitive when it comes to games. But I have a question for you. Are you as competitive when it comes to honoring each other? See, a gospel community will try to out-bless each other. Paul continues, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Man, that's a verse for today. See, we need to be quick, not slothful, quick to serve each other. Fervent is this idea to be excited. So be excited in your spirit. A gospel community is full of people who are excited to be in that community. And they're anticipating what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And they're anticipating ways that they can serve each other and outdo each other and love and honor each other. Gospel community is full of people who are not doing their own will. They're doing God's will. And then Paul brings us back to, you know, when he says in here, he says, rejoice in hope and be patient in tribulation. He brings us back to that whole idea of weeping with those who weep and rejoicing with those who rejoice. And we do this by constantly praying. See, a gospel community is constantly in prayer. And he continues again, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. A gospel community is a giving community. Not just of their time, but of their money, supporting the saints. We should have no need in the church if we're a true gospel community. And we should be reaching out to our community to serve them. I challenge you. This is going to be something new that we're going to really look at. We are going to really start focusing on serving our community. Not just inside Living Faith, but in Ossian, in Yoder. What can we do? I'm challenging you and I'm challenging the leaders. Start looking at how we can serve the community. Verse 14. He says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Isn't that hard to do? Man, somebody comes at me. What's my first response? I'm going to nail them back. Right? No. No. Bless them. Bless them. Don't curse them. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. See, when there are disagreements in the gospel community, we don't lash out. We don't get angry. We bless them. We may not like what happens. We may not like what's happening to us. But we don't lash out and accuse people. Now, if they are wrong, biblically wrong, we address it with them, but we do it not by lashing out. We do it calmly and with love. The whole idea is to maintain a relationship. We live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Never be wise in your own sight. Okay, pardon me for a second. I need to grab my guitar. I want to show you something. If you don't know anything about a guitar is a stringed instrument, and this one has six strings on it, and each string is a different note, or a different octave sometimes. Those are both E. And just playing it, sounds okay. But what happens when I play certain notes? It becomes a chord. And it becomes a beautiful chord. Each individual note turns into a beautiful chord. You and I need to be of one accord, playing beautiful notes to make beautiful music. See, a gospel community lives in harmony with each other. Too many times we have disharmony in the community, caused by people who are sinners and have not understood what it means to be part of a gospel community. If possible, Paul says, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. The church is not to be like the world. And you know what the difference is? The gospel. The gospel gives us a new humility that's to be lived out within gospel community. Peter tells us in 2 Peter, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and Savior. To him be the glory both now to the day of eternity. Amen. In the gospel community, there's still a lot to be done. We're not done yet. And we need to continue to strive to grow in grace and knowledge until we stand before Christ in our redeemed bodies. See, if you believe the gospel and you have not changed from the way you were 10 years ago, I am not so sure you truly believe the gospel, because we are transformed by the gospel. We are changed by the gospel. And the conduit to that is transformation in a gospel community. So either you don't believe the gospel, or you haven't been part of a gospel community. We need to examine ourselves. And last of all, the gospel gives us a new journey, a focus. Our destination is different. It's changed. And because of that new destination, we must redefine what we consider success and failure. We no longer pursue the American dream, but we pursue the will of God. We are no longer our own. 1 Corinthians. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. You and I, we are missionaries. We are ambassadors of reconciliation. Our goals are changed, and the gospel changes our desires. Our goal is to spread the gospel throughout the world and to live in harmony with each other and to love each other and to show people what it means to be reconciled to God. Jesus invites us to his way of life, humbleness, and he invites us into his kingdom. See, in this world, it's all about upward mobility. It's about power. It's about achieving domination and success and power. That's what this whole thing is about that we're going through right now. It's about domination and power. Don't believe me? Look at Michigan. Power goes to the head. Power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. But Jesus says, I've come to set you free from the world. You want to be great in the world? Then go that way. But understand, it ultimately will lead to destruction. To be great in God's kingdom is easy. Love, serve, surrender. Does it scare you? Does it scare you? It has me. If it does, then part of you that's scared needs the gospel, and it needs a gospel community to set you free. And the good news is that it will. In no way do we have to be ashamed of the gospel, because it is the very power of God for salvation for all who believe. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your gospel. Thank you for the newness, that we are a new creation. Help us, Father. Help us to do what we are here to do, to be your image bearers, to share the gospel, to spread the kingdom to the ends of the earth. Help us to love each other with a supernatural love. We pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you for joining me today. Remember, if you're watching on Facebook, please comment, please follow and like our Facebook page and like this video. If you need prayer, put prayer in a comment. If it's your first time here, just put new in the comment, and I'll just send you a quick note welcoming you. But please follow us on Facebook. If you're watching this on YouTube, if you're signed in, subscribe to our channel and follow it. And you will get updates whenever we add new things to it. Other than that, God bless, and we will see you next time.